Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And say, you know what's more important to this team's success? That is why I'm not sold that they're going to do anything big with the pitcher.
Well, again, we need somebody who can eat some. And I still think, regardless, you're hoping that Hurston Waldrop, who's continuing, and Schwellenbach, because once we took the body shots at Northport, that all of a sudden half your staff is projected to. It looked pretty good on paper for a minute. I still think you try to find it at least one innings eater, but yeah, you've got to shore up the lineup. You want to talk about the lineup real quick?
Yes, please.
All right. Not exactly a murderer's row when you go 7, 8, 9. Riley is not hitting. We know that, but Riley batting seventh, Jim Jarvis at short, and Brewer Hicklin.
Who?
Get Brewer Hicklin. 30-year minor leaguers bounced back and forth from the show, went to UAB. He's going to be starting in right field tonight. So yeah, you need some spark. Drake's going to lead off. Ozzy, Matt, Michael Money Harris, Dubon, Dominic Smith, and then you get to like a 7, 8, 9 that's not robust.
Okay. And look, I don't want to, you know, point the finger, but if you're telling me the focus is going to be on offense, does this mean they don't believe that Austin Riley's going to get back to form?
It could in part, or that, you know, Ha-Seong Kim with his finger rehab. I was arguing with some guy today. Goes, it was a finger. He didn't agree. You really think it was his finger? No, they said, look, you got to go down and get your ish together, okay? I can't think for you, some Braves fans. But either way, Ha-Seong Kim is up in Gwinnett with Acuna and Grant McCauley, who'll join us, by the way, next hour, reporting that Walt Weiss says they've got a schedule mapped out for Ronald's return, Carl. He says when asked whether or not that means he'll return this homestand, Walt said he couldn't rule it out or wouldn't rule it out. That said, it doesn't sound imminent and could happen on the first road trip. So again, we said and we heard last week they were going to probably slow roll Ronald's return.
Yeah.
So probably not likely for this homestand.
Yeah, it makes sense. They're in Gwinnett, right? They've just been brought up
him
to the Stripers.
Him and Kim. Now, all again, right. If Kim and Riley start hitting, that's a big problem to solve. But you need, all right, you got 17 days to prove you guys can get your act together. Because, look, they're not going to trade Riley. No one would have him at this stage. You got to get him going.
Yeah, you do. All right, more on the Braves coming up with Grant McCauley. It's just interesting. Basically, this is a wait-and-see approach. It's not that they don't have guys they're interested in, guys. Okay, that's not how this works. In my years of covering baseball, they've already targeted guys. They know what the cost is going to be. But before we go all in, I am going to see if an A.J. Smith-Shawver or a Spencer Schwellenbach or any of these guys can come back and add to this rotation before I go spend another X amount of dollars on a pitcher right. For half a season. And again, to Mike's point, they're not going to go get somebody who they don't have control over with the salary as far as the contractual years. So I just find that interesting because that's what I was laying out yesterday and guys were calling me idiots.
Well, I wasn't calling you an idiot.
No, not you. I
just still think you can't bet on what you're going to get from A.J. Smith-Shawver. You can't bet on what you're going to get eventually from Schwellenbach. You can't even remotely count on, like, Spencer Strider, okay. Guys. You said it yourself.
No,
you don't think Strider's going to pitch this year.
He's done, but he does a little bit. Shrelly comes back and does a little bit. You get Perez back, Martin Perez has been good for you. Like, that's the mindset is, we're not counting on just one guy. If they all chip in, how many innings are we eating up the rest of the season? If right. This all was to work out, and that's the big question.
Right. So we'll see. I understand what you're saying. I still think why not have insurance? Because let's go back and look at it. Not enough pitching in 23. Right? 24, we barely got to the line, and again, it was a hard enough effort from Snicker and company just to make the playoffs. Last year, the injuries overwhelmed you. But, you know, 23, that's the year you out-hit everybody. Yep. You still didn't have enough pitching for that Philly series. So I would like to see you stack the deck and go get somebody, as you said, expiring contract.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to eat half of it.
And look,
or whatever it's prorated for the remainder of the season.
They may do both when it's all said and done, because guess what? Over the 17 days, if they get a sense, Mike, that these guys are not going to be back to the level in which they think they can, then you still have to address it. But they're willing to find out. And the good news is we've got time. Like, we've got some time to figure it out. All right, more on the Braves coming up. We got to hear from Bill Belichick because he was speaking today at ACC Media Days. Let's talk some college football. SEC Media Days next week. Can't wait. We will hear from Kirby Smart and all of the SEC coaches. I think a lot of people are anticipating what Lane Kiffin's going to say. with LSU and the pressure that comes with that situation. But before we get to Belichick, I want you to hear Brent Key talking about you have to be able to adapt and how kids are different today, Mike, and saying, look, they're not the problem. We're the problem. This was Brent Key addressing the media at ACC Media Days.
You have to be adaptable. Right? You have to be able to change. And like people say, oh, you know, kids are different now. Well, so are the adults. We are too. Right? We're the ones that set the example. But you know, the same guys that want to complain about a lot of the things in college football need to look themselves in the mirror. They're the ones jumping jobs every 2 years too. Let's be real. The adults in the room sometimes end up being the bigger problem. And I'm very transparent with my team about that. We talk very real in terms of that. Look, we're coworkers. There's no dictatorship at Georgia Tech. I'm the head coach. I'm the leader, yes. But we have to work together, and they understand that. It's about the players at Georgia Tech. Always has been and always will be as long as I'm the head football coach there.
No, some would say, and I think Brent, look, Brent's a sharp guy. I mean, when you put something like that out there at a media days where there's nothing going on in the world of football, you know it's going to draw attention. So it's a bit of a calculated, coordinated effort to reach out to guys who might be thinking of coming to Georgia Tech. You're talking directly to the players. You're talking directly to recruits or, more importantly, transfer portal guys who are already established.
True. Because it's about you. It's not about me.
Right.
It's about you.
With all due respect to Brent's partnership, I mean, it's his way or the freaking highway. He runs his ship how he runs his ship. But I run my unit how I run my unit. He's old school. But I love it. But it's a great message. And somebody, he's talking about Lane. Well, he's talking about whoever you want to talk about. Coaches move around like they move around.
Yeah. No, it's true. And look, whether coaches want to take responsibility or not, because for all these years leading up to NIL and the portal and all this, coaches did whatever they wanted. There was no recourse. There was no consequence. You took a better job or you took another job because you felt like it was a better job. There was nothing. And now the movement with kids, everybody's all in a tizzy. And so he's saying, like, look, as much as you guys want to now change the system, you got to look at yourself in the mirror because that was the system before the system changed. And I think he's on to something. But, Mike, it's going to take, and we've said this, an act of Congress, and I do mean that.
Literally.
To get everybody a level playing field. Until that happens, that this thing is going to be up and down. Every state's going to have laws. And, again, that's why Nick Saban was testifying a few months ago saying, hey, here's the problem. And if anybody knows, I know. So listen to what I have to tell you. And again, I just don't think we're there yet with Congress moving as fast as they should to regulate things from a law, from a legal standpoint and having laws across the country.
It was some interesting stuff. We played some audio. You guys should rewind on the Odyssey app at Dukes and Bell because we heard James Franklin going, greatest offseason. We won offseason. We were like, oh, wow, Hokie fans, you won offseason. We also had some audio of Dabo going, you want me to leave? I'll leave. Come on, me to kick around anymore. But then we were waiting to see what Coach Mumbles was going to say. Belichick, after a very underwhelming first year.
So why did they struggle last year? I mean, he is the greatest football coach in the history of football, is he not, Bill?
So it was just so much newness, just so many new players, new coaching staff, which that wasn't that big of a problem. And that's just what it is, but this year we have much more continuity. And even though the players, we have a lot of new players, they were here in January and with us all through the spring and our season training program, which we didn't have last year. So that was really the biggest issue last year was how new everything was and how, as I said, we couldn't have run player run practices because we didn't know how to run. We didn't even know the plays.
Again, all right, I mean,
Mike, isn't that college football?
This is like ML. Remember, he was going to run it like an NFL team. That's where he brought a director of personnel, right? Lombardi came. He was going to bring this whole idea that you're going to run it like an NFL team. So the continuity thing's kind of a misnomer because you're just flipping the script every year on that team based on what he said last year.
At least most schools are. Kirby's not because he's not bringing in 35 new guys every year. But most schools are. I think that's the nature of this. You could use that excuse moving forward every year. It was the newness. Well, you bring in 30 guys, you're going to have newness. You're going to have guys that don't know what you expect or what they need to do.
I mean, like you and I, we discussed it, as I said to you yesterday, I had no expectation for Belichick. I figured this is 2 years tops.
You think this is last run?
It never made any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You know, the closest he came to an NFL job was us, and then Arthur said, nah, I'm not gonna do it. So I don't know what this is. Let's be honest. We talked more about his girlfriend than anything they did on the football field last year.
We did. And that's the shameful part. Belichick also talking about, are they going to make a jump? All right, from year one to year two, are you?
This time a year ago, you know, we didn't have a quarterback who had taken a snap even in spring ball for us. You know, we had so many new players coming in that had never even been in spring ball. At least most of our players now have been in spring ball. We have a few freshmen, five or six freshmen that are coming in. But at least these guys now, granted, you know, Miles, Billy Edwards, Travis, but they are at least in spring ball. So we're way ahead. Last year, we didn't have any player run practices. We couldn't actually line up a team and run it against another team without the coaches being out there because we didn't have anybody that knew enough on either side of the ball to do that. Whereas this year, these guys have done it all spring and all summer. They go out there on their own and have 7-on-7 and do drills and all that because we have enough experience of guys to do that. So culture's a lot different, work ethic's different. Not taking anything away from the guys that were here, but compared to a year ago, like we know a lot more about what we're doing, how to do it, and our culture's a lot different.
Okay. You buy any of that?
No.
Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sorry. I don't. Right. Look, he is a master at presenting these things in a way, because he's done this forever, right? That it makes you feel like, okay, and if you're a North Carolina fan, and look, you should have a little optimism, but I just don't, Mike. I don't buy that. Are the players better? Only time will tell, all right? And everybody thought he might have a leg up because he was Belichick. Look, the sell is easy for him. I've seen the best. I've coached the best to ever do it.
Right.
And I have more rings than anybody. You want to know what it looks like to get to the NFL? I can help you with that. That's the sale. This sale is not national championship, best in the ACC. Dude, I'm going into the best houses of five stars across the country. And he's not, by the way. That's not what he's doing.
And I just okay. Dovetail on your point. I just looked it up. Brent Key in Georgia Tech shows up about 8 spots higher, according to 24/7 Sports, on the transfer portal
yes.
rankings. North Carolina came in at 52.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Yeah.
No, look, the guy's exactly. His legacy is secure from the NFL. It's just, look, you know, you treat people like crap, and eventually you come back and you have a lot of egg on your face. Some people take some pleasure in it. Okay, maybe I do. Maybe Carl does. You know, again, he will be remembered for what he did with the Patriots, not what he did in Chapel Hill.
Not talking about this.
By the way,
they are still together, right?
I guess. Okay. Yeah, she wanted, like, information on how they were using her name, image, likeness, when she came up in emails and stuff. It's a real big mess up there. Anyway, you were asking about what's going on with Indiana. Can Cignetti sustain it?
Yes.
According to all the recruiting experts, they picked up the number one wide receiver for the 27 class.
They've never had a top 100, yep. I believe it is, a top 100 player, or maybe a top 50 player.
He didn't have to go far. He's just traveling down I-65. But a young man named Monshun Sales, number one wide receiver, 6'5", 195, going to play for the Hoosiers.
All right, man. We'll see if Cignetti. Look, I want to see. I want to see if he can sustain it. All right, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk? Because we've got Steve Coonan coming up at 4:40. What you talking about?
Hey, man, there were all great reviews over the top for the Spielberg movie, Disclosure Day, and you said it was okay.
I thought it was a little long.
A lot of people they didn't love it like they thought they were going to love it.
It was good, but it wasn't like, whoa.
Rave reviews, at least a few I've read already, coming out for another big movie from a director we love. We'll tell you about that. And what happens if it's too smoky to play soccer on Sunday in New York? Bring it here to Atlanta, but there's a hiccup on that. I'll explain.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.